Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to be reading 1 through 8. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. As we look at that and we start weighing it all out, what you see is the positive and the negative on everything, because there is that time for everything. I think about 14 years ago when we moved here, and it was a time in our life that was... The only certain thing about the move, when we moved to New York to start the church, was God is a great God, and He's a faithful God, and He loves us. And so as we were going through and trying to make those adjustments, that's the hope we had. That's the positive we had. That's what we held on to. And today, as we go through the passages, because some of you are in a valley, and you're struggling. And some of you're on a mountaintop, and you don't have no problems. And some of you are just making a bed of sin that is destroying you and everybody around you. And some of you're just living a righteous life right now, like everything is good for you, and you're obedient to God because you got a hold of yourself and started serving God instead of you. And some of are clueless about who God is. I mean, you got an idea. You're like, yeah, I've heard the name Jesus, but I don't know who He is, really. Some of you know who He is, but you're just not living for Him. And some of you don't know who He is, so you're not expected to live for Him because you think it's all foolishness anyway. And I mean, like, everyone is in a season in their life, amen? Some of you are in a season where, man, it is great and all of your family's around you and it's a beautiful thing. And some of you are in a season where you're alone. And some of you are in a season where all of your family is around you, but you're still alone. It's just a weird thing, and everybody is in a weird place at some point, sometime in their life. How many of you, I just mentioned you at some point through all of that, right? And there's my, I got more than eight, amen. And so, right, because we do, listen guys, and especially this time of life, this season, 2020, probably the worst year, the worst year in my history, other than when I was grounded for the entire summer, like, this is probably the worst year in my in all that I could remember, 2020, and yet it's the best year as well. My gains are too high, I think, or something. I'm squealing up here, guys, or squeaking, or adjust it out. Okay, so but there's these seasons that just seem to overwhelm us. Am I on?
Hello.
Okay, just
check.
And so as we go through these seasons, the one thing we have to remember is God, and God is consistent. You know, yesterday, it was just so weird. You ever have one of those days where it's so weird that you can't get connected to anything? You sit down to watch TV, but you don't want to watch TV. You go to read a book, but you can't focus on the book. So you get up and go for a walk and find out you can't walk. So you want to take a nap, but you can't seem to fall asleep because you can't shut your brain off. And so then you get out and you drive and you wonder why you're driving, because you probably shouldn't be behind the wheel because you can't focus. And then you go and you're like, why am I even here? What's going on? God, why do I feel disconnected from the world, like an outer body experience? Anybody else ever feel that? Thank you. I am not alone. Amen and amen. That was my day yesterday. And so I think to my Lord, what is this season that I'm in? And funny that we're in Ecclesiastes talking about seasons. So as I looked at this, and you read this, you find out there's so much here. And I think He covers every level. One of the things I want to show you is the season that we started. So if you guys have that video ready to queue up, this is the first. Now let me give you an intro to this video. We did this video. It was our first year. We put a video together to send it to our home church in North Carolina, the one who sent us out to start this church. And so this was our first year in New York. Now, mind you, we had lived in North Carolina. We're from Ohio originally, but we lived in North Carolina for 17 years, and then Missouri for 4 years. So for 21 years, snow was just... We'd get it in North Carolina, you get 3 inches, and by noon it's gone. You thought you got rain. You know, I mean, it was like one of those. Well, our first year here, totally different, right? So I want to share with you how seasons look as we go through. And since this is Anniversary Sunday, I thought, wow, how perfect is all of this? Go ahead if you have the video.
So precious Lamb of God for us was slain. We lift our hearts to Him. He's the reason that we sing.
Amen, right? How many did I take way back? Larry, you had more hair back then. And a whole lot less beard, right? Naomi. Who else saw themselves in there and went, oh, I could, right? That's so funny. So that was our first year in ministry, and what a season of life it was. And I'm telling you, it was difficult, and it was tough, and it was great, and it was fun, and it was up, and it was down. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And as we go through these seasons, you're going, wow, you know, this isn't, nothing's guaranteed, but it's all really good. Amen. And we go, oh, well, I hate the bad seasons. I know I do too. But man, there's good. And the reason it's good is because even in the bad seasons, we learn and we grow. And so that can be good. So one of the videos I want to show next, and I didn't want to say, I was going to play all these at the end, but I'm like, nah, we're going to do it now. So the next video that I want you to see, and some of you will be able to really relate to this, is that when we moved from the school over to upstairs. Now, I don't have any, we're not doing pictures of the upstairs in the other building that we were in. We moved around, and we're like IBM. I've been moved. And so we ended up getting this facility here 7 years ago, the 2013. So in 2013, we moved over here, and when we moved over here, this place was a hole in the wall. It really was. I mean, it was junky junk. And as a matter of fact, when I told everyone, hey guys, we're gonna rent this space, and they're going, And I go, hey, hold on, you got to ride this train with me. Trust me, God has given me the vision, and I see it, and it's going to happen. And so we raised money, and the money that we raised paid cash for everything that we did in this facility. We didn't borrow not one dime. Not only did we pay cash for it, but my home church sent some people up here to the first week that we got started just to kind of help do that big kickoff remodel. And then we jumped in. And it took us 2 months to completely remodel this place and move in. Now, some of the things that you'll see different real quick is this, the stage area. So for those of you visiting, we're so glad you're here. Just ride down memory lane with us, and then I'll get preaching here really quick. So you see I'm on tile here, and it's because up to this point right here, that platform was out here. And there was a wall back there, and that was all storage and my office and whatnot. And then as we needed more space, we knocked all that out, extended the ceiling, moved the furnace. Like, we did a whole bunch of stuff that you won't see on the video. And then there's a door behind those curtains. And so we put a truck back there, hooked a winch onto the bumper of the truck, run a cable. We jacked the platform up, run a cable all the way up to the front, took those vents off, put a 2x4 across the front, wrap the cable around that, and then winch this whole thing backwards into place. Then rewired everything, had to move everything this way, and voila. Okay. That's what we have. So we've done a lot. Like, as the years go on, we've done a lot. If you look back on the sound, you're going to see the sound booth was just a sound booth. And then as threats started coming toward the churches, you know, and the shootings were happening in the churches, we went, wait a minute, we need security. So what are we going to do with security? And then we added everything to the right of the sound booth where Karen is, all that we added on so we could put a security booth up there with a camera, and then we put cameras everywhere so that you guys would be secure. So that's been added. And a few things here and there we've added you won't see in the video, but what you will see is how much work and effort everyone put into it to make this place what you see today. And how many of you, your first time coming up to the building, you pull up, or to come to church, you pull up and you're like, yeah, you're like, this is a little sketchy, man. We're going to probably walk into a warehouse with metal chairs, and who knows what that pastor looks like. Okay, we know because of Facebook, but other than that, we are clueless. And finding gold color stuff on the floor. Okay, and then you're like, oh my goodness, it's sketchy. But as soon as you come in, you're like, whoa, this was not what I expected. How many have done that, right? You can be honest. You're not going to hurt my feelings, because I did that. I pulled up and I went, And then I walk in and go, thank you, Jesus. But then I realize and remember, you know, everything's a season, and I just praise God we got a place to meet. Amen. 14 years later, not only do we have a place to meet, but we actually have people to show up. That's pretty awesome. Amen. Okay, for me, that's really awesome, because during COVID, when I would look out and all the chairs were empty, I'm like, ooh, how do you get into the mode of preaching to chairs, right? And so we had everyone buy little statues of themselves, and we put it in. Okay, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. All right. So, guys, are you? This video here was when we moved into this place in 2013, so 7 years ago. Go ahead and start the video. Some of you may have already seen this, but bear with me.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand. Jesus, I am so in love with you. The simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. Oh yeah. So I'll let I'll stay. words with you. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Give the Lord a hand. So some of you got to see what this looked like beforehand. It was pretty ugly, amen? It's okay to say it was ugly, amen? All right, nobody else thought it was ugly? It's all right. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And man, God supplied, and in 2 months, we converted the place from a junk hole to what we have today. And then we've made some adjustments. So how many are at least impressed with that, amen? Yeah, right? God did good. All labor was from the church, and it was all volunteered, and we paid cash for everything that came in. The church has never been in debt, never been in debt. And the reason that we won't go in debt is because God says, owe no man nothing. And you are a slave to the lender. So every time you borrow money, you just become a bigger slave to the system. I know you don't like to hear that, but you're going to hear that, especially next month is stewardship month. And so we're going into don't be a servant, a slave to the lender. All right, we got to get that out. But so what you've seen up there was God's hand, and it was another season. And we have pictures of the other building. We didn't do anything with that, but oh my goodness, if you just saw that building. It was atrocious, and we literally started out because we got kicked out of the church or out of school because they said church was bad for their image. And so they kicked us out, and then we were desperate to find a room. We find this room in the building across the way, upstairs, and it was one room, and we had like 75 people, and literally, it was a squeeze-in aisle. How many remember the aisle down the center? So you would come in the back door, and you'd come up the aisle, and everything else was butted again. It was such a violation of every level. And the ceiling sloped down like this, and I had Pastor Bill Havens come in and preach for me. Now, for me, it wasn't a problem because I don't go like this, right? But for Pastor Havens, he is 6'4", 6'5". And he says, okay, and he throws it out, and he goes, if that's you, raise your hand. Bam. And all he hits the ceiling, and the lights, and all the dust starts falling down. It was It was so bad. And so we went through and we remodeled all of that. And then from there, we kept adding rooms and tearing down walls and building walls and tearing down more walls and building up more walls. And then we no sooner get that done and we're like, oh. And then we started in here. And we started the process over. So there's always a season and there's always a time. And I just, first off, being Anniversary Sunday, I wanted to take some of you back down memory lane. For those of you who weren't here during that, now you see what it took to get us here. And it took a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work and a lot of effort from a lot of people. Amen? But praise God. How many of you, you've only been here since we've been in this area, and God has changed your life since you started coming to Connecting Point Church? Look at the hands. That's why we're here. Those seasons, man, just think. If you don't endure the tough seasons, you miss the fruit that God wants to give you. If you don't hang in there when the road is bumpy and the snow is up to the bumper and you think, what on God's earth am I doing in this place? And then you go, okay, God, you know what? I love you more than I hate the cold. I love you more than I hate salt trucks. I love you more than I hate salt. I love you. And you just, okay, God, that's why I'm here. And guys, if we don't endure that in those seasons, man, you'll miss the fruit God has for you. And so with that, I want you to go to back to Ecclesiastes 3:1. And in 3:1, he says this. All that was a prelude to the preaching. And so now I got to figure out how I'm going to take 3 pages of notes and bring them down to 30 minutes. All right, so now for those of you visiting, I've never been able to do it before. All right, so here we go. I know, it's like, what? Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And so, guys, listen, everything, right down to, I'm going to give you a Galatians 4:4. In Galatians 4:4, a beautiful example of a time and a season, and when it is the right time and the right season, God moves. But when the fullness of time had come, listen, when it was the right time, is what it's saying here, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In the fullness of time, some of us, we want God to go, genie, 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 right? And God's like, I don't know who you... Yeah. But that's what we want. And God's like, whoa, wait a minute. There is a process of time. And we have to hang in there through it. I assure you, this is sweet on the other side. But man, sometimes we're in a spot that we just wanted to hurry up and go away. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, which is so funny because I used to think this as well. When I first got saved, and I would do dumb things. Anybody ever been there before, right? and I'm like, God, why don't you just put your hand on the top of my head and just guide me, move me, and direct me the way you want me, and that way I won't disappoint you. And that's not how God works, right? God says, no. I want your heart, and I will reveal everything in the fullness of time, when it is the right time. So I want you to see that there's a time for every season, a time for every purpose. God has a timetable for everything, and we see it in Galatians 4:4. We also see it in Ecclesiastes 1:1 through Ecclesiastes 3:1 through 8. The second thing I want you to see is God does not always give us the details. Couple of reasons God doesn't always give us the details. Number one, because even in Psalms it says that he lights the footsteps. Because if God would have shown me the whole picture of New York and me moving here and all that it would encompass, I'd have been like, dude, you are on your own. You got the wrong guy for the job, right? How many of you, if you're looking back, if you just saw the whole picture, you never would have got on the ride? Yeah. Yeah, and so, because let's be honest, being a Christian is no joke. Man, it takes discipline. If you're going to be you can be a Christian. You can say yes to Jesus and then live like a dog. I mean, you can do that. But to say yes to Jesus and then actually love Jesus, and Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, that's a whole new level. That's a whole new level. Are you, listen, I love Jesus, and can we look at your life and affirm it? Yep. Because it takes a massive amount of discipline to actually love Jesus. Well, Jesus loves me just the way I am. That's true, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. And if you stay the way you are, you don't love him. You're like, that's not fair. Tell me what is. So number two, God does not always give us the details, because if he gave us the details, it would freak us out, right? But if you go to these sorcery places, right, that have tarot cards, palm readings, crystal balls, tea leaves, astrology, man, you go to those places, they'll give you all the information you want, as much as you can afford, they'll give you. I love it when I go to the psychics. By the way, psychics are evil on every level. Don't come up to me after service and say, Pastor, you're wrong. No, they're evil. The Bible says sorcery and witchcraft is evil, and that is sorcery and witchcraft. But I do love when you see signs out in front of psychic places that say, due to unforeseen circumstances, we're closed. Some of you will get that. How many just now got that? How many needed it explained to them? Okay, don't go there. All right. So listen, but you know what? God gives us the promises, but he's not a crystal ball. He's not going to give us all the details when we want it, the way we want it, but he will give us what we need. But here's what he tells us in Acts 1:7. In Acts 1:7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And what this passage here doesn't apply to everything, but it does apply and show us that there are things that and times that's just not for us to know. Because if we knew, we might run. If we knew, we might mess it up. Amen? If we knew, how many ever watched Groundhog Day? Right? And so all of a sudden, every time it's like, oh, I got to go change this. I got to change that. You know, do whatever you can do to avoid the day from happening the way you don't want it to happen. Or Back to the Future, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to go back. But listen, you can't change anything. Well, if God would have gave us everything we needed or shown us everything, we'd have either ran like crazy or we would have messed it up, because we would have got into someone's business and that we shouldn't have been in. Because, you know, a lot of times people are moved by emotion, and God's just moved by what needs to be done. He would be what we call a pragmatist. He sees the problem and he takes care of it. Done. He's not swayed one way or the other, except for he loves us, so he sends Jesus. But other than that, God's like, hey, this is what's going to happen and how we're going to do it, and we do it. All right. So the number three I want you to see. So God wants us to trust him. He doesn't give us all the details, but we need to trust him, and we need to trust him with everything. Number three, God is never early. He's never late. He's always on time. Now, there are times where we go, Lord, I think you messed up on this one. Okay, maybe that's just me. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had sold my business and everything in North Carolina. We moved to Missouri. God made it very clear he wanted me to go to Bible college. So we sold everything, moved to Springfield, Missouri. And now, mind you, I was 10th grade dropout. I was too busy doing all the things I shouldn't be doing. It wasn't until I was 30 I went and got my GED, and then at 35 I'm sitting in a classroom with kids. It was a season. It was a season, but I remember going home one day, and the professor, because one of the classes we had to take was English. Now, I'm not taking anything like algebra. I had to take algebra. I dropped out before algebra was mandatory. So guess what I was on algebra? Clueless. There was another season for you, and I gotta now I gotta pay to fail this class. That was terrible. I didn't fail it. I passed God's grace. But I remember I was they gave out all these assignments, and I the English professor did, and I get home, and I'm trying to do them, and I'm reading them, and now I feel like I'm reading them in Greek, and I hadn't had Greek yet. Anybody ever? I'm looking at the words going, and I remember I stood up, and I threw the book across the room. And I'm like, God, you said you don't mess up. You messed up sending me to Springfield, Missouri. Amen? And I was mad. I was mad as a wet hornet, as they would say. And then, so finally, after I said all my words that I needed to say or felt that I needed to say, then I had to turn around and repent of all them. And then I repented of them, and I prayed, and I'm like, okay, God. You're in charge. I literally cannot do this. And so God just, man, he came in, he comforted me. I went and I talked to the professor, sat down in her office, and as we sat down and she started explaining it, it was like God turned the light bulb on for me. I'm like, wow, this went from Greek to English on my way from home to here. How'd that happen? Right? Because God comes in, and I'm just saying, like, there are seasons that we don't like, and they're very uncomfortable, and God's going to stretch us, but he is always on time to take care of us if we hang in there. We have to hang in there. His timing is perfect. I got a pop-up that doesn't want to go away. Hold on here. There we go. I hate electronics. Can I say that? All right. So, listen, God's timing is perfect, and time does not affect God. 2 Peter 3:8, I want you to see. Listen, time affects us. Amen? 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It doesn't mean that it is 1,000 years, a day is 1,000 years to God. It says it's as if. It's giving you the idea that time is meaningless to God. He is not in God is not in time's constraints is what this is talking about, okay? But for you and I, a day is a day. And sometimes a day feels like a day, amen? And sometimes a day feels like 1,000 years, amen? But here, God, listen, God is always on time. He's never late, and time is nothing to him. Through the process, God has a plan for us. In our time and in his time. I want you to see Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you know what gets in the way of this time frame for us? Us. We get in the way of it. We stop that we, listen, God has all these great things for us, man. Listen, tremendous things in store for us, not only to have, but to do. And I'm not saying that you're going to be rich and God's going to bless you, because, listen, God just has this future and a hope for us, each and every one of us. My future and my hope right now my hope is in him. My future was the church and is the church and will be the church. And I shall die preaching the gospel, Lord willing. But what would remove me from preaching the gospel? Me. See, God has all this for us. Who, listen, when I moved here in 2006, I thought that we would be running 900 in 2 years. I did. What is it if you don't have goals? Amen? But that wasn't God's timing, nor was it the season I was to go through. And as I was going through that, and I'm like, Lord, why are we not running 900? You called me out here. I came out here. I surrendered. I did my part, God. You need to do your part. And God's like, whoa, whoa. I got to grow you. I got to raise you up a little bit more. Like, you're not ready for that. Now, in my brain, I'm like, psh, I'm ready for 1,500. What are you talking about? And God's like, mm-mm. We got a process. And you may never get there. And it may not be because you're not ready. It may be just because that is not the future I have for you. And so, guys, listen. He has a future and a hope for us. He is not bound by time, but we are. And we have to be patient and we have to wait on him. But understand, he is always on time. Habakkuk 2:3. And for those of you who don't say Habakkuk, you say Habakkuk. You're wrong. It is Habakkuk. All right, here we go. I'm not even going to get into the phonetics of it. All right, here we go. For the vision is not yet an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, I'm not saying this verse is for you, but what I'm saying and what I'm doing is I'm showing you this verse because I want you to see that there is an appointed time. Again, an appointed time for what God has for us, and we just have to be patient and wait on him. How many are impatient? Oh, yeah, you're about to learn a big lesson. Right? Because, look, we got to put the brakes on. We got to slow down. How many remember me sharing the story of Jeffrey running, right? His boss would say, hey, go pick it. He was gone before he could hear what he was supposed to pick up. He was already full on run, sprint to the trailer. And sometimes that's the way we are. But listen, God says, wait a minute, there's an appointed time, and we can't move until it's time to move. And so, guys, we got to slow down and we have to wait on God. But understand this, when you're sitting there and you're going, God, I don't have time. I don't have time to wait on you. What are you waiting on, God? I'm how many of you are praying for a miracle? Be patient. Be patient. Just keep taking it to him, right? I read this statement that said, a difficult place to be is in the waiting room, God's waiting room. When you are in a hurry and God isn't, that is God's waiting room. Right? We're always in a hurry. Why? Because for some reason we haven't learned how to slow down. We haven't even learned how to breathe yet. Just relax. God says it is an appointed time. And I will make sure it happens when it's the right thing to happen. Wait on me. Remember when he told the apostles after he resurrected, he says, look, I'm going to come back. Just go to the upper room and wait. And Peter's up there. Now, Peter's a troublemaker. I'm just telling you, like, that dude had issues. Just read all about him, right? He was slow. He had to be told everything 3 times. So either he was slow or he couldn't hear. I'm going with slow. And so they're up in the waiting room, and God said, you wait. Jesus said, you wait for me there. I'll be there. And Peter's like, man, it is 2 hairs past a freckle. I'm going fishing. Who's going with me? And there were guys that weren't even fishermen who are like, yeah, I'll try it for a first time. Let's go. I'm tired of waiting too. And they go fishing. How many remember that? All of you. I know. Just nobody's playing with me anymore. So they go, and then God meets them by the sea, and he's like, I'm sure he wanted to say, dude, I told you to wait. Why didn't you wait? Well, he could have scorned him, couldn't he? Instead, what did he do? He loved him back into the ministry, back into the fold, made him breakfast, fed him, and then loved him through it all. But guys, listen to me. There is a time, and when we're in the God's waiting room, we need to be patient and wait on God. Now, one thing I do want to share with you is that through these seasons, through these times, a delay does not mean a denial. A delay in God answering prayers does not mean a denial. It just simply means wait. We have a struggle waiting because we live in such an instant society, amen? Listen, if we can't have full-blown, full-course Thanksgiving dinner done at the push of a button in 30 seconds, ding, and there it is, we are upset. If we got to wait 2 minutes on a sandwich, we're like, what's taking so long? They haven't killed the cow yet. I hope I didn't let a secret out that that's what they have to do. Anyway, it is, listen, delay is not denial. Isaiah 49:8. Thus says the Lord, In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. What I want you to get through this verse, and I'm not taking it out of context, I'm just showing you how God works, okay? And so he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In other words, I heard your prayer, I heard what you asked. Be patient. Some of you I know, and we've talked, and you are praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for something very specific. And you're going, where's God? Why hasn't God answered? I'll be honest with you. There's times where I'm sitting at home and I'm like, Lord, you know, in my prayer time, I'm going, Lord, what's taking so long? Right? And God's going, it's not the right time. When is the right time? I mean, am I the only one? Right? You get a little irritated, and God says, look, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. When it is the right time, I will respond. And some of us are so arrogant. And listen, that's what I did. I was when I first moved here, I was probably about, so we were still in the school, so it was in the first 2 years. And I remember going up to the office. I told my wife, I said, look, I'm going to pray. She goes, how long are you going to be there? I don't know. I'm buying 2 cases of water. I'm going up there and I'm locking the door. I'm turning all the electronics off and I'm not coming out until God answers my prayer. I'm not eating. I'm not coming out until God answers my prayer. I'm on day 3. Day 3. And I'm praying. I'm praying so much, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, I do not know. But man, I was seeking God's face, and it was about 7 o'clock in the evening, and at 2 in the morning, I quit praying. And it felt like 20 minutes. Seeking God's face. Like, I didn't get off of my knees. I was praying, 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 praying. The only thing I had was water. I never left the office. I kept all the lights out. All the lights out, day and night, I kept the lights out. I'm like, I am not coming out of this room, God, until you give me an answer. Day 4, I left the room. No answer. Because I think it was day 4. I fasted 6 days, on or 10 days on that one. So it might have been 6 days I came out, but I think it was day 4. I don't remember now. And I don't want to lie. It's either day 4 or day 6. I finally come out. I'm like, God, you don't want to answer me? Fine, I'm not hanging out. I'm out. I'm out of here. And I got up and I left. And I turned my phone on. And, of course, it's like beep, beep, beep. And I'm looking at all the messages. And so then I saw where I had to be in Clifton Park that afternoon. And it was morning time when I left, about 10 o'clock. And so I called him up and I said, hey, I'll be there. I'm heading that way now. I'll just come over. It was about 11 o'clock. I'll come over and it was before lunch. I remember that. And I said, I'll just head straight over there. And they're like, okay. I get over there and on the way over there, I get a call from Pastor Brothers. Now, Pastor Brothers is like this massive thorn in the flesh. And I say that because God uses him to tell me what I don't want to hear all the time. And so he calls, and when he calls, I'm like, hey, how you doing? We're talking. I'm not thinking anything about it. And he's like, what are you doing? And I said, man, I just got done. I just told him about the whole fast, everything that was going on. And I said, but you know what? God hasn't spoken to me. And so I don't care. I'm done. And God said, well, or Pastor Brother said, God told me to call you. I'm like, Every time he says that, it's never been good. I mean, it's been good, but, you know, it's not what you want to hear. And I said, I go, really, what did God want you to tell me? And he said, you are incredibly proudful, and you haven't died to yourself, and that's why you have struggles, and you will continue to struggle until you repent and deny yourself. And I said, I don't like you. And then the Holy Spirit hit me, and I sat in that car, slobbering, snotting, crying, because all of a sudden I realized, he's right, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. My pride, because remember what I said, we should have been running 900. in 2 years. And I'm upset because we're not. But yet in 2 years, we're still running a little more than the average church in America. See, people think large churches in America, or of course you have the mega churches, but do you realize that the average church in America, and I'm talking the average size church in America across the whole nation, is between 45 and 50. That's your average size church. I assure you we have double that in here. But in my brain, I'm like, it ain't 900. Right? And so, man, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just convicted me and broke my heart, and I sat there and I was weeping. You know why it wasn't time? It wasn't time because I wasn't ready. And so if God's not moving in your life the way you think he should be moving, stop. Because the problem is not God. God is an on-time God, and at the appropriate time and the proper time, he'll do what is right and what needs to be done. But the question is, are you ready? Are you proudful? Are you the problem? Are you getting in the way? God, listen, God, I can promise you this. God is never the problem. As newsflash, God is never the problem. And so we got to look at us. And in due season, the acceptable time, God will do great things. It is said there's a big difference between no and not yet. Be careful in the waiting room. Delay can cause anxiety, frustration, discouragement, jealousy, pity party. Delays are by design. While you're waiting, God is working on you. God is getting you ready. He says, I will give you the desires of your heart, but not until you're ready. And so if you have this expectation before and you're upset because it hasn't come to fruition, look at you. Like, legit, stop and look at yourself. Am I living in sin? Am I ready for this? You know, it might not even be sin, guys. It might just be you are not ready for that stage. You think you are. I'm ready for 900 now. God's like, you haven't even unpacked a truck yet. What do you mean you're ready for 900? You got to learn New York. And more importantly, you got to learn New Yorkers. And you guys are just like me. You're weird. Just like me, amen? That's what I've realized, man. We're all weird. In many ways. And so what you got to do is you got to stop and ask yourself, is God not answering prayer because of my sin? Or maybe because I'm not ready? Maybe it's not the right thing. Maybe if God gives it to you, it will destroy you. And so God says, whoa, no, because if I give that to you, that'll become your God, and I won't, and so therefore I won't give it to you. And if you try to force a square peg in a round hole, man, you're going to have problems. And so sometimes this delay, guys, this wait, is for a reason and for a purpose. And it's usually, if we're not ready, God's not going to give it to us. God will not move us until we are ready to be moved. And don't think so much of yourself that you're like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I should have been moved 2 years ago. If you should have been moved 2 years ago, God would have moved you 2 years ago. You got to wait. He's an on-time God, and the waiting room stinks. But there's four things that we need to do while we're in the waiting room. And I'm gonna breeze through this because I really don't want to go over. And I know my videos took us over a little bit. And if I go over, just forgive me. It'd be all right. You guys don't have nothing else to do anyway. All right, here we go. Nothing better to do than to hear from the Word of God. Amen. All right, here we go. Four things you need to do while you're in the waiting room. Number one, fear not. Trust God. I want you to know that faith absolutely defeats fear. Mark 5:36. Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, believe." Guys, that's the crux right there. Believe. And God says, if you don't believe me, why should I give you anything? Why should I do anything for you? You're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways, right? James chapter 1, 1 through 4. You're like the waves of the sea. You toss to and fro. You got to believe, guys. And not believe that God's going to give it to you, but you got to believe God and trust him. You have to have faith. The interesting thing about fear not is 300, I haven't counted them, but it says that it's repeated 365 times in the Bible. I wonder if that's just one for every day. Amen? Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Man, we got to trust God. And I'm going to tell you, the number one stress reliever is trusting God. And the more you trust God, the less stress you're going to have. The less you trust God, the more stress you're going to have. It's really quite simple. It's like 1 + 1 really does equal 2, contrary to what other people think. Psalm 31:14-15. Psalm 31:14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Verse 15. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. This was King David. He's like, I trust you, Lord. Just deliver me. But no matter what's going to happen, I'm trusting you. That's the key, guys, that we have to trust God and what he says. The next thing, so the first one was fear not. The next one is fret not. Don't worry. We talked about worry last week, if you remember. And so Psalm 37:1-2. Psalm 37:1-2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Listen, don't fret because of those who do evil, and don't be envious of those who are living in sin, because I'm telling you, they will pay the price. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't get caught up, guys. Listen, don't worry what other people are doing. Get your eyes off of other people. Get your eyes off of other things. And you look to God and God only, and you trust him and you wait on him. And if you do anything contrary to that, we're going to move into what he talks about here as an evildoer. And listen, we're going to get cut down. I know that's not real encouraging, but I just want you to know, right? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Guys, don't worry. It is said that worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation with God about things he can change. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, when the time is right. But we have to be humble. So don't get caught up in worry. The next is forget not. Forget not. Remember God's promises. There are over 6,000 promises in the Bible. Now here's a question. Can you name a promise of God? If you can't name it, then you can't claim it. You know that name it and claim it thing? Where God says, hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. But if you don't know it, how are you going to hold on to it? Guys, we cheat ourselves. That's what I want you to understand. God is faithful. So the next thing that I want you to see is faint not. Do not quit. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Some of you guys, you've gotten so impatient and you've lost heart. You've gotten so impatient, you walked away from God. You've gotten so impatient, you started complaining to God, and then you become unstable. Your faith starts waning. Your belief starts waning. And then now you're not praying to God, but you're cursing God. And you're still wondering why he's not blessing you. Listen, God says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, when the time is right, will reap. If, man, look at these words, right? A timetable and a precursor, if you will. Don't faint. Don't grow weary while doing good. When the season's right, you're going to reap the harvest. if you hang in there. How many of you waited, you got tired of waiting, you left, and as soon as you left, everything you were waiting for happened to someone else. You're like, doggone, if I had just waited 5 more minutes, those would have been my tickets. This is what he's talking about. You got to wait on him. Don't lose heart. Hang in there. Wait on him. And then it brings me to the last point. The biggest thing that we need to do is understand that the time is right for salvation. That's today. That's today. Guys, God's got all these promises. There's a season for everything. There's a purpose for every season. And if you're in a tough season, hang in there. God's trying to teach you. He's trying to grow you. Or he's trying to draw you to him. There's a season and a reason for every season. But if you don't hang in there, you're going to miss the hand of God. You're going to miss the miracle of God. You're going to miss the encouragement of God. You're going to miss the strength of God, the direction of God. We got to hang in there. And listen, guys, I'm not saying that God's going to like you're going to go out there and you're going to get $10 million, you know, because God's blessed. Here's what I'm saying. That God will move you, teach you, guide you, direct you. He will bless you. But that's the way he decides, not what we expect. How many times you expected something and it came out completely different? I'm telling you, man, God moves in his time, but we are not to grow weary. We are to do good. And then when the time is right, God will bless us if we've hung in there. That's literally what it says. Some of you kids, man, you are instant. Some of you adults, too, you're like, you hit the button and you get this little circle. And you're like, wah! I mean, some of you like almost have health failure right then, right there. Then you back out of it and come in again, see if it'll come up. How many do that? How many go, oh, this isn't working right? You throw it down and you run to another electronic to try and get it up on that. How many don't know anything, any another electronic exists other than their phone? Listen, guys, we have to hang in there. Don't lose heart. But here's one thing that I want you to understand about God's timing. And God's timing is on salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. See, guys, there is a season for everything except for salvation, and that season is always now. It's always now. Because, listen, if you draw your last breath and you die, guess what? That acceptable time is over. You can no longer. There is no purgatory. I'm so sorry for those of you who've been lied to all your life. There is no purgatory. There is no resting place to wait for someone else to pray you in. There's no other galaxy out there that you're going to get like Jesus got this one. Mormons teach that if you're good and you've set the example, then when you die, you and your spouse get a galaxy. Jesus just set the example to show us that he was good and he got his own little galaxy. Did you not read? God, Jesus created every galaxy out there? Anyway, what do we know, right? And so what I want you to see, though, the one thing that is always now is the day of salvation. Now, behold, that word behold. Remember, guys, I've taught you this before and I'm going to tell you today. Again, I'm going to repeat it. That word behold means, hey, let me get your attention. Behold, wake up, understand, don't get lost in this, don't forget this. Hey, that word behold means, hey, this is important. Behold, now is the accepted time. Well, how do we get saved? Man, I'm so glad you guys are asking these questions. That's just awesome. How do we get saved? And I'm finishing with this, Acts 3:19. For he says, Acts 3:19, repent, therefore, and be converted. Be converted? You trying to change me, Pastor?
Yep.
Right? Because you're like, are you trying to make me religious like you? No, I hope you're way better than me. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If you don't repent and believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have the times of refreshing. And very, very specific, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That means you'll be with Him, He'll be with you. You're not alone. This isn't... But guys, listen, it takes an act on your part. It's an act on your part. I want you to know that God loves you. That's why He sent Jesus to die for you. God wants you and I with Him. There was no other reason for an innocent man to have to die. But it wasn't just for salvation. It was so that in every season, in due time, God can bless us, carry us, show us, strengthen us, enlighten us, direct us, guide us, everything that comes with it. Everything that comes with it. But the first step of any of that I just talked about, please leave that verse up there, please, Acts 3:19. The first step is repent. And believe. You got to believe. That's being converted. Believe. And so I want to give everyone an opportunity to surrender their life to Christ. This is why we've been here for 14 years. This is why God sent His Son. This is why we have the Word of God. This is why I preach every week. The most important part of everything that I do and the Bible talks about is salvation. If you don't have salvation, you got nothing. I don't care what you have on earth. Wood, hay, stubble, what's going to burn up? Where's God? Where's God? No, where are you? That's the question. So many times in this life, we ask the wrong questions. And therefore, we end up with the wrong answers. The question is not where is God? The question is where are you? And when you figure out where you are, you will see where God is immediately. I want to give you this opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, I understand there's a season, and some of you, you're in a season because God's trying to get your attention. You're in a season because God wants to get your attention because He wants you converted. He wants you born again, as Jesus says in John chapter 3. He wants you to repent of all your sins. That word repent means literally to turn away from those evil desires that you have and that you're walking toward. You turn away from that and you walk toward Him. That word repent means that you die of yourself, you kill your pride, you humble yourself. Because until you do that, you are your own God. Jesus says, for anyone that believes in Him goes to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus says that He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through Him. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus also says that if you're ashamed of Him before man, He'll be ashamed of you before the Father in heaven. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to repent. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to let it be known. And you're like, Pastor, you're going to call someone up front and embarrass them? Nope, I'm just going to call them up front. Let them be loud and proud that Jesus is their Savior and the Father in heaven is their God. If it's your desire to give your life to Christ, it's real simple. You pray this prayer, but understand the words aren't magical. The words aren't what gets you to heaven. It's the fact that you believe in your heart the words you're about to pray. That it's a true desire of yours. you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I repent. I'm going to walk away from all the sin that I do, the lifestyle that I've chosen that is contrary to you. I'm walking away from it. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. I believe you are the only way to heaven. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I come to you as a child. I believe. So I ask that you forgive me of all my sins, and I will walk away from that which keeps me away from you. I will walk away from that which divides me. Jesus, I will humble myself. I will not be my own God. I will surrender and allow you to be my Savior and my God.